World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Welcome, everyone, to Coach Dave Live. Coach is not here today, so my name is Adam, and I'll be filling in for Coach Dave. Today, we're going to be talking about seeking God's wisdom and God's guidance, because we're being lied to on an epic scale when it comes to mass media, the newspapers, television, any way you think about it. We're being lied to by everybody. So the first thing I want to do is read Proverbs chapter 2, verses 3 through 7. It says, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. I know so many Christians right now that are believing most of what we're being told on the news today. And I keep asking the Lord, Lord, how do I reveal what I know to be the truth to these people? And I believe that the Lord is just directing my heart to constantly and consistently just pray for knowledge and wisdom and discernment for myself, but also to be able to speak to these people with kindness and with love. Because you can't yell at people and get them to listen to you. But from Dr. Fauci all the way to the Epstein files, we've been lied to. So with that, I'm going to ask Spencer to just show some videos. And then when the videos are done, I'm going to give a little bit of commentary on those. And then I'm going to ask everybody else to come and chime in and to give your opinion and your thoughts. So Spencer, can you please share the first video?
To the topic today is the issue of pandemic preparedness. And if there's one message that I want to leave with you today based on my experience, and you'll see that in a moment, is that there is no question that there will be a challenge to the coming administration in the arena of infectious diseases, but also there will be a surprise outbreak.
You hear that? Pause that for a second, please. You hear what he just said? There's going to be a surprise outbreak on the next after the next election. This was all planned. Every single last bit of this COVID nonsense was planned. It was a scamdemic, not a pandemic. I'm sorry, Spencer. Can you play that again?
I don't know how many times I can say it, Madam Chair. We did not fund gain-of-function research to be conducted in the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
Anyway, so let me just go on about NIH lifts funding pause on gain-of-function research that might be anticipated to create, transfer, or use enhanced potential pandemic pathogens. I don't think this is going to be foolproof. Things are going to slip through.
If it may have been a lab, may have been Nature, we're supposed to look forward, then why did Dr. Fauci work so hard for just one of those theories?
I'm almost have to laugh at that, Neil. I mean, that's totally bizarre. First of all, I wasn't leaning totally strongly one way or the other. I've always kept an open mind.
As you know, there's a sort of urban legend that there's a biological warfare center in Wuhan and that the coronavirus escaped from that. Did you have any sense of where it probably came from?
I think ultimately we know that these things come from an animal reservoir. I've heard these conspiracy theories, and like all conspiracy theories, they're just conspiracy theories.
I wasn't leaning totally strongly one way or the other. I've always kept an open mind.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask.
Should you be wearing
two masks or one mask? I often myself wear two masks. Can we make a general recommendation that doesn't have scientific basis yet? No.
Please wear a mask.
The chances of my getting infected in an indoor setting is extremely low. And that's the reason why in indoor settings now, I feel comfortable about not wearing a mask because I'm fully vaccinated.
When you're in a congregate indoor setting, wear a mask.
You can stop that, Spencer, please. Are you getting a point, everybody? All they did was flip-flop on everything, and it's not because they were trying to figure out how to save the American people. They already had this planned out from the very beginning. All they did was lie and manipulate. I believe this was a test to see what they can get away with if they put people in enough fear. That's what I believe. And the sad part is I know many, 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 many Christians who wind up taking that shot. And some of them aren't here today. And the ones that are, some of the people that I know have some severe health issues. But we weren't just lied to about COVID. We were also lied to about the Russia hoax with Donald Trump. Spencer, can you please play that second video? Number two.
Any kind of collusion with the Russians.
And then there's the Russia investigation.
We know the Russians were involved in interfering with the election.
How do you explain the Manafort allegations as anything but collusion?
So it's official. President Trump isn't Putin's puppet. It was all a hoax. There is no Russia collusion.
It was just announced. There was no collusion with Russia. The most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. There was no collusion with Russia.
So will the conspiracy theorists in the mainstream media apologize? We were bombarded with over 2 years of fake news, horrible reporting, and wild speculations. So how bad were these stories? Well, let's take a trip down fake news memory lane, shall we? Once upon a time, CNN accused Donald Trump Jr. of colluding with WikiLeaks. And no, I'm not kidding. It happened in December, and to be more specific, Manu Raju reported that WikiLeaks emailed Donald Trump Jr. stolen documents 10 days before they were released to the public. Well, like I said, that never actually happened. Donald Trump Jr. actually received an email about it after they had already been released to the public.
Now, we've been reporting that this email came on September 4th. That was before some of these documents were publicly available. But we have just obtained a copy of this email. And instead, we now learn that this email was on September 14th. So that is 10 days later than what we originally reported.
The next slide that was repeated over and over again is about the Steele dossier. To this day, people are still getting it wrong. The Republicans didn't pay for the Steele dossier. Let me repeat that. The Republicans did not pay for the Steele dossier.
There had been research done, and that some Republican candidates, as a matter of fact, had contracted through, I think, Fusion GPS to obtain what later became what's known as the dossier.
So Clinton paid for part of it, but it had been started and paid for by Republicans.
Republicans did pay for separate opposition research, which is standard, and there was no connection to the dossier.
Spencer, you can stop that video, please.
Hillary Clinton's.
And then please go right into video number three.
Quickly, the Biden campaign helped. To sum up quickly, the Biden campaign helped to gin up a letter that was itself disinformation about a laptop that turned out to be real, about emails that were authentic. So the claim of disinformation was, in fact, disinformation. And now we know that, of course. At the time, the mainstream media dismissed the Biden laptop story, dismissed the New York Post story, and dismissed that Hunter had been, in fact, involved in all of these things. You would think that it would have led to some reporting by others. Of course, there was a total blackout, other than us and a couple of other outlets.
Thanks, Spencer. So I don't know if you guys are seeing a pattern here. I'm pretty sure that you are, because all of you people seem to be awake. And that's why I'm thankful for Coach Dave's show, and I'm thankful for all you guys. But we're consistently and constantly being lied to. ever since Operation Mockingbird, when the CIA melded themselves with the media apparatus, all they do is lie. And we have people like Anderson Cooper, who used to work for the CIA, now spouting CIA lies through CNN. Can you go to video number five, Spencer, please? This is about them lying to us about Joe Biden's health, which everybody in the country saw that the man was losing his mind or had lost his mind, and they're trying to tell us that he's cogent. Go ahead, Spencer.
And have the stamina, physically and mentally, do you think, to continue on even after 2024?
Don, you're asking me this question. Oh, my gosh. He's the president of the United States. You know, I can't even keep up with him.
The most difficult part about a meeting with President Biden is preparing for it, because he is sharp, intensely probing, and detail-oriented and focused.
I can testify because I've been working very closely with this president for the past 2 years. I've been knowing him for 30 years. And I'm telling you, this guy's tough. He's smart. He's on his game.
Joe Biden has vision. He has knowledge. He has a strategic thinker.
The president is focused. He's detail-oriented. He's always thinking about the big picture.
He is engaging. He is capable. He has an incredible record as president.
And I'm often with him on foreign trips. He's at the top of his game.
So he has a vision. He has knowledge. He has judgment. He has a strategic thinking.
I met with the president, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks ago, and he seemed fine to me.
I have complete confidence in the president. I have watched him expertly guide meetings of staff and cabinet members. I could not have more confidence in the president.
I would just tell you that I meet frequently with the president, and every single time I meet with him, he is just fine.
But he is, knowledgeable, wise.
Incredibly sharp, incredibly probing, incredible.
I'm sorry,
command.
Spencer, can you stop that and then go to the video number eight? This stuff makes me so angry.
So here's the latest unbelievable twist in the Jeffrey Epstein saga. It turns out, first of all, we already showed you that a guard at the jail said that they took him out the night before, put him in a van that wasn't registered like they normally have transportation vans registered. They don't normally come on the weekend. They came on the weekend, no paperwork. They got him out of there in a wheelchair and put him in, and he's gone. And so we already showed you that. So that's credible. That's credible from a guard, confirmed guard inside the prison. Well, now we find out that they drafted his death certificate the day before. A draft statement from the U.S. Attorney's Office dated August 9th, 2019, the day before Jeffrey Epstein died on August 10th, states that Epstein was found dead in his cell. So there's a draft statement from the U.S. Attorney's Office dated August 9, 2019, the day before Epstein supposedly died. They already had a draft saying that Epstein was found dead in his cell.
Spencer, can you skip that same video to 940?
Simply not
listen
true. Epstein's death on August 10th, 2019, at 10:38 p.m., the report says someone, probably Noel, carries a bundle of bedding or clothing up the stairs. It's a rare instance the video does catch movement on the stairs, but barely. Let's see that zoomed in and in slow motion again. Several of the video forensic experts we spoke with were skeptical about the report's conclusion and thought that the video could be showing an inmate walking up the stairs. Authorities say this was the last time anyone approached his cell block until his body was discovered the next morning. Well, what do you think of that?
There, Spencer? So I don't know if you can read what's up on the screen right there, but it says the inspector general logs as it is an officer carrying orange linen or bedding, right? Then it says in their final report, as an unidentified corrections officer. Now, I was a corrections officer for many years, and I'm telling you right now that that is an outright lie. Now, if you can back up the video but keep it paused by a second or two, if you look on the desk, you can actually see a logbook on the desk. Every time someone enters or leaves that particular room where those cells are in, whether it's an officer, whether it's the warden, whether it's an inmate, cleaning crew, whoever, they have to log the movement down of everybody in that book. This is how they keep a head count. This is how they keep track of everybody in the prison system. So for them to say that it's an unidentified officer carrying orange linen is a lie. It's either that or these are some of the most incompetent people on the face of the earth. The point that I'm trying to make to everyone is that while we're busy going to church on Sunday and maybe going to Bible studies on Wednesday, separating ourselves over non-essential theological topics, over things that at the end of the day are not salvific in any way, shape, or form, while we're busy beating one another up over what we disagree with, we're being lied to, manipulated, and messed with on a scale like we've never seen before. And I know Coach mentions it a lot, but what does Jesus say? A house divided against itself cannot stand. Well, right now, if you get 10 Christians to stand in a line and you ask them each an opinion on all of these things that we're talking about today, you're going to get 10 different opinions for the most part, most of the time. And it's not the opinions that I think, or the differing opinions that I think that matter as much as the fact that people actually believe what they see on Fox News and on CNN and on all these other things. But again, like I said in the beginning, when I read through those verses in Proverbs, we need to be seeking the wisdom of God, the guidance of God, so that we don't fall into these traps. Spencer, can you go to video number 7, please?
Breaking news on the House Oversight Committee's Jeffrey Epstein investigation. The committee just announcing it is bringing a prison guard who was on duty the night Epstein died for a transcribed interview. Let's bring in MS Now senior legal reporter Lisa Rubin. Lisa, what do we know about that night and what potential details could this guard provide?
So the guard in question is Tova Noel. I'm not sure how you pronounce her name, Anna. She was the last correctional officer believed to have seen Jeffrey Epstein alive when she brought him linens at around 10:40 p.m. the night before he was discovered dead.
Pause that for a second.
She's come to
Did you hear what she said? When she brought him linens. Now, their official report says it was an unidentified officer. Which one is it? These people can't, they lie so much, they can't even get their lie straight. I'm sorry, can you hit play again? I'm sorry.
Investigators' attention right now is because an FBI document that was found within the Epstein files released by the Justice Department says that the morning of his death, among things that she did was Google searches for latest on Epstein in jail at about 5:42 that morning and again at 5:52. When asked by investigators about that, she said she didn't remember doing the search. Another reason that congressional investigators might be interested in talking to her is because there were large sums of money transferred to her bank account through Zelle, an online payment transfer system, the last in the amount of $5,000 shortly before Epstein was discovered dead. I should note that those Zelle payments began in April 2018, well before Jeffrey Epstein was arrested, much less indicted or prosecuted by Southern District of New York prosecutors. But those are reasons why Jim Comer and others on the House Oversight Committee want to speak to Ms. Noel now.
And what about that missing minute of security footage? Was that ever cleared up?
No, it really never has been cleared up. I mean, the Department of Justice has said that that missing minute of security footage has to do with when the tape essentially resets and that every 24 hours there would be a gap of that duration. That has not, of course, satisfied folks online and even folks within Congress as to what happened the night that Epstein was dead.
So they lie so much they can't even get their story straight. And these are the people that are running the country. These are the people that are supposed to be reporting the news to us. And they expect us to trust them. When the only one that we can trust is the Lord and his word. All this other stuff is nonsense. And I'm gonna poke one more point, play one more video, and then I'm going to open it up for everybody to comment on and share whatever they want to share. Can you please go to video number 6 and fast forward it to the 1-minute mark, please.
Of lies that they've lied.
One thing that you need to keep in mind is Israel has been lying insistently since the beginning of the genocide. It's been the cornerstone of Israel's genocidal campaign to lie every single day about everything possible and to come up with the most lunatic lies possible, imaginable. Israel lied about massacring the ambulance workers in Rafah. They lied about the GHF massacres. They lied about the Shifa Hospital, the Flower Massacre, the beheaded babies, Hamad Hospital, Hind Rajab, the terror list at the Rantisi Hospital that turned out to be a calendar, the World Central Kitchen workers, babies in ovens, white phosphorus, deliberately starving Gazans, Sinwar surrounding himself with 20 hostages in a tunnel, gassing hostages, the Ahli Hospital, killing women and children with white flags, mass raping Palestinians, non-existent tunnels under graveyards, Nasser Hospital, Hussam Abu Safiya, mass graves, snipers targeting kids in the hits, providing protection to criminal gangs that are looting aid systematically. Israel also lied about wiping out Gaza incrementally, gradually. They lied about refusing and collapsing the ceasefire, blowing up Gaza's Gazans fleeing now south, blowing up and destroying Kamal Adwan Hospital, claiming that dead Gazan children are fake plastic dolls, creating alleged safe zones that they push the people into and they bomb them once they get there. They lied about the general's plan. They lied about how many Hamas militants they killed, about the Red Crescent taking part in October 7th. That was another lie. They lied about how many journalists they've killed, and they lied about designating previous journalists as Hamas militants. They lied about Muhammad Abu Salmiya, the head of the Shifa Hospital.
I know Spencer's going to put all these video links in the description and post them up for everybody, but my question for everybody here is, how do you know what news agency you're listening to is not lying to you? How do you know the news that you're getting is not false? I've seen many videos over the last couple of weeks, Benjamin Netanyahu with six fingers, Benjamin Netanyahu taking a sip of coffee, and the coffee doesn't spill by the way that he picks it up, and the level of the coffee doesn't go down. I'm seeing other artificial intelligence or videos completely making things up, but look completely real. And we don't think that that's going to be used against the general population? Folks, this country needs Jesus, and it needs it serious. And that's why I'm so thankful for Coach Dave, for this show, for all of you guys, because you guys are awake and aware. And you guys, for the most part, I believe are all active, going out there and doing things to wake people up, going out there to do things to save people.
Boom.
This is what we need in this country. We need people that are fearless and not fearful. We need people who are not walking around in confusion, but with clarity. And in my humble opinion, that's the only ones that can walk around with clarity and a humble heart are those of us who are born again by the Spirit of God. Go ahead, Ray.
Adam, wait until they take you in a video in an uncompromising position and blast that all over the world because you're a Christian that they want to silence. I believe this is where it's headed with this AI technology, is they're going to put us in situations that the world and people around it, they're going to discredit us and try to destroy us through this whole technology scenario. I think that's one of the big things that we ought to be careful of. Amen.
I think you're 100% right. I mean, how do we know that some people already have not gotten framed using AI? I mean, I saw a video, I don't know if it's real, but I saw a video that was supposedly recorded off of someone's cell phone that's over in Iran, and they show this blue laser coming down from the sky and the sky lighting up blue and then the sky turning red. And then everything blowing up, and supposedly we're shooting buildings in Iran from satellite dishes in outer space. You know, it sounds sci-fi to me, but again, how do we know this is real? All I know is the vast majority of what we're being told, almost everything is not true. Is not true. And in my humble opinion, the only way that we can come across the truth is by doing what? Asking questions. By asking questions. I believe that when the Bible says to study to show yourself approved, it doesn't mean that we're approved by coming up with the correct theological perspective on a given matter. But when the Bible says study to show yourself approved, I believe what God is telling us is that our approval comes from searching out Him. It doesn't necessarily mean getting it right or getting it wrong. but it's doing the work, searching for God in every corner of our life. That's what's approved. We are approved by seeking God, and we can't seek God if we're not truth seekers. We can't seek God if we're not truth seekers. Let me see if I have one more video. Did I skip any videos, Spencer? That one? Yeah, can you play that one, please?
For the 2020 election, Big Tech suppressed a story about Hunter Biden's laptop. NPR said they didn't want to, quote, waste their listeners' and readers' times on stories that are just pure distractions. CNN claimed that the emails from Hunter Biden's laptop were, quote, Russian disinformation. Brian Stelter mirrored this lie as well.
If those emails we just talked about are connected to an ongoing Russian disinformation effort.
This is all fake news, so let's unfake the news. Approximately 18 months later, the New York Times was forced to admit that these claims of Russian disinformation were a lie. Not only did they admit that Hunter Biden's emails weren't Russian disinformation, they also had to admit that the New York Post's original reporting was correct. The New York Times wrote that the laptop and email were, quote, authenticated by people familiar with them and the ongoing investigation into Hunter Biden. This is a fact that people who don't consume mainstream news outlets already knew, but now it's time for mainstream outlets to reckon with this. So now no one should believe the fake news that Hunter Biden's laptop is Russian disinformation.
That's good. Thank you, Spencer. So a lot of Christians that I personally know say, well, I watch Fox News. They're safe. Are they? I challenge everyone here that's in the chat today to go on Google and type in Fox News donates $3.5 million to the Church of Satan. You're going to find out that that's 100% true. You're going to find out that they donated money to some NGO who then funneled that money to the Church of Satan. But let me ask you a question. Billionaires who donate money like that, do we think that they're donating money and not knowing where it's going to go in the end? Of course they do. Of course they do. There it is. Slap in the face of Christians. Fox News employees lament matching donations to Satanic Temple. So is Fox News safe? See, I believe the answer is no. Now, Peter posted something a few minutes ago on the chat that I was going to get to. And I think, Peter, there's a thumbs up on that on my part. You're 100% correct. We cannot hope for any change in this country unless the church repents of its division and the church repents of its sin. The Bible says, if my people, if God's people humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, then God can heal their land. Now, I know that that's an Old Testament, Old Covenant verse, but I believe it still holds true today.
Correct.
Folks, we need to come together in unity. We need to stand together, pray together, worship together, serve together. We need to put religion aside. When Jesus came to this earth, he didn't come to create a religion. He came to create a family. He came to create his kingdom. So I'm going to pose a question to everybody, and if somebody has the answer, please get on there and raise your hand. But what is the kingdom of God? Most Christians think that the kingdom of God is a place that you go to when you die. But I'm here to challenge that way of thinking. A king cannot rule over an empty plot of land. The king rules over the people. So in my opinion, we are the kingdom of God. Go ahead, Betty.
You nailed it. We are the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy.
Amen. Amen. We are the kingdom of God. The kingdom is here. The kingdom is now. Why? Because we're here. So that means we're supposed to be out there doing the work. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, and I agree with Betty because the Lord said, you know, pray that thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So we already know that he confirmed that there was going to his kingdom was going to be here. But Adam, the question I have for you is, people will point to when Jesus was confronted by Pilate and he said, my kingdom is not of this world. How do we navigate through that comment that Jesus made to Pilate?
Well, I would say, and again, this is just my particular opinion on the matter, but I would say when the Bible says that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, We are residents of the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this world. We're just here temporarily. So I would humbly say that Jesus is referring to us that, yeah, we are his kingdom. We will be with him for all eternity. But Jesus was, I believe Jesus was essentially telling Pilate, yeah, what you see here, this doesn't belong to me. This is all corrupted. This is all corrupted. And in my humble opinion, someday when the Lord comes back, he's going to make it all new again. So that's my humble opinion, brother. Go ahead, Ray. You got your hand up?
Yeah, Spencer, if you wouldn't mind, bring up 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. And this answers your question to me. I memorized this scripture here. Do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. There's your answer right there. I don't know. Our body is the temple. The kingdom is within us. Our body is the temple for the dwelling place of God himself, the Holy Spirit. How clear is that?
Amen. Amen. Well, the Bible also tells us that the Lord no longer dwells in temples made with human hands, right? That's because he dwells in us, like you just said. So I have a brother in Christ who I talk to quite often about eschatology. He's a Zionist, a dispensationalist, but you know, we're good friends, and I talk to him all the time because in my opinion he's wrong, and I'd like to have the opportunity to change his mind on it, right? And he says to me, "Oh, but they're going to rebuild the temple and they're going to sacrifice the animals again." And I said, I pose him a question. I start off with posing him a question. I say, "Okay, let me ask you a question. Was Jesus the last and final sacrifice for the sins of the world?" He says, "Yes." I said, "So if the Jews rebuild the temple and start sacrificing animals again, they would be doing that in defiance of God, wouldn't they? Because why would they sacrifice animals if Jesus is the last and final sacrifice for the sins of the world?" Now, see, I can have these discussions with many people because they're still my brothers and sisters in the Lord, but so many of us, brother, divide ourselves over the little things. I pastored a church for 16 years. I had people leave the church because they didn't like the music. I had people leave the church because they didn't like something I said from the pulpit. We had people leave the church because they didn't like the fact that somebody didn't pray in tongues. Other people left because they heard people praying in tongues. And so the point that I'm trying to make is how can we as a country, how can we as a church wake people up to the lies that are being told to us on a daily basis when we ourselves are so busy giving each other fat lips and black eyes over things that don't really matter all that much? You know, they just don't really matter all that much. And most of the church, I'm sorry, from what I can tell, they go to church on Sunday and sit on their hands and don't do a whole lot Monday through Saturday. Maybe some of them go to a midweek Bible study or a midweek prayer group. But for the most part, they get up, they go to work, they read their newspaper or turn on the news and they fall into the same trap that everybody else in this world falls into. And we assume that the news agencies are telling us the truth because that's what they get paid for. But really what they're getting paid for is to manipulate the populace. That's really what it is. And again, that's why I'm completely and totally thankful for this ministry that Coach Dave put together. I think it's very important. We are supposed to be people who walk in wisdom, who are awake and aware. Who are awake and aware. Does anybody got anything that they would like to add to the discussion? Oh, go ahead, Jack. I'm sorry, I didn't see that.
That's okay. I look for solutions. You're bringing up great topics and great points of interest. So how do we combat this? And I would say that you can't be an expert on all of it. So pick a subject that you're interested in, 9/11. Or the money, or yellow cake, or pick a few of the major lies and learn all the facts you can about that lie, so that every time it's brought up, you can say, no, that's a lie, because blah, blah, blah. No, that's a lie. You have to confront the lie. Look at that. Go back to when Obama's was giving one of his State of the Union addresses. One brave soul stood up and said, you lie. That's what we got to do all the time. Confront the lie. You can't get into all the nuances of eschatology, because you can come up with 10 different reasons why your version is right and their version is wrong, and they can do the same thing. But just nail down a lie and nail down the facts around it and confront it and call it out every time. It's pretty simple. We all need to do that on a regular basis.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, go ahead. I'm gonna get superseded. My wife's gonna come over.
Yeah, I'd like to say something. The word of God says, my sheep know my voice, another they will not follow. And if you look and study the word of God, look at Nehemiah. Look at Haman. He spread lies. There's always been lies. There will always be false, fake news, always. If you study the Old Testament and the New Testament, you're going to see that there are people that spread untruth. And so you have to pray about everything you hear. Be careful, little. I used to teach my children. We have 7 children. Be careful what you hear. Be careful what you repeat. You got to pray about it. You got to put it, you know, the Lord will show you in your spirit. You'll feel something's not right. You'll feel uneasy. Just, God, is that true? So you just can't believe everything you hear. Jack and I listened to 2 or 3 Newsmax and a couple other, and I don't believe everything that comes out of their mouths. I pray about it. I go, Lord, is that true? And weigh it and wait for confirmation. Thank you.
Then do something about it.
Amen, guys. Amen. Those are some good points that you guys just brought up. Amen. Yeah, because with everything, go ahead, Mel. Mel raised her hand.
Yeah, I think that, you know, what I found is that you identifying the problems first is the first step, right? But we need to be careful not to admire the problem. So, and then we have to figure out what the action is to do, which is, you know, a lot of times the hard part. You know, the Bible says have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather some versions say expose it, but other versions say rebuke it. And those are two very different things. I think sometimes if we're exposing it, we almost give credit to the enemy. So, I mean, I think that rebuking it is just, I mean, for me, I kind of tend to go with the rebuking idea that we need to really just stand against that. So anyway, that's all I have to say right now.
No, that's good. That's good. I would say maybe we could do both. We could do both. We could rebuke it and expose it. Jack's got his hand up again. Go ahead, Jack.
I just wanted to mention, I put a link in the chat that I just happened to come across last night of rebuking and exposing the BBC lie during the 9/11 event, where they were giving news that hadn't happened yet 20 minutes early, that Building 7 had collapsed. And it was still sitting behind him. So there's one that you can use all the time.
Can you play that, Spencer?
Jane Stanley. Jane, what more can you tell us about the Salomon Brothers building and its collapse?
To this day, many people still do not know that on September 11th, 2001, there were actually 3 towers that fell. The third tower that fell, despite not being hit by a plane, was World Trade Center 7. Also known as the Salomon Brothers building. They would be even more surprised to learn that the British Broadcasting Corporation reported on this collapse approximately 20 minutes before it actually happened. The events on September 11th were used to justify the Patriot Act, which has led to the largest, most pervasive, and intrusive surveillance state in the history of the world. How did the British Broadcasting Corporation report on the collapse of the Salomon Brothers building before it happened, and what does this imply?
Well, only really what you already know. Details are very, very sketchy. There's almost a sense downtown in New York behind me, down by the World Trade Centers, of just an area completely closed off as the rescue workers try to do their job. But this isn't the first building that has suffered as a result. We know that part of the Marriott Hotel next to the World Trade Center also collapsed as a result of this huge amount of falling debris from 110 floors of the two twin towers of the World Trade Center. As you can see behind me, the Trade Center appears to be still burning. We see these huge clouds of smoke and ash, and we know that behind that there's an empty piece of what was a very familiar New York skyline, a symbol of the financial prosperity of this city, but completely disappeared now, and New York is still unable to take on board what has happened to them today.
Presumably there were very few people in the Salomon building when it collapsed. I mean, there were, I suppose, fears of possible further collapses around the area.
Wow. So she's showing the video of the building still standing, but saying that it collapsed.
And they're filling it in. There's all kinds of verbiage about what's being done, how it happened, and it's standing right there, right in front of us, and we still believe it.
Yep.
Holy smokes! But then you tie that, because that didn't happen in a vacuum. Now you tie that. That's affecting us today, every single day of our lives. That lie is affecting us.
Yep. So that was predictive programming, right?
Okay. What TSA? Where's TSA? TSA is not getting paid. We got to get TSA paid. How about we just get rid of TSA? Oh, wait a minute. The bad guys would like that. You mean the bad guys that just sent a missile into a tower in Dubai that didn't knock it down? Wait a minute. Yeah. Okay. We got to think, people, outside the box. Jay.
Yep. Amen, Jack. Betty, you got your hand up?
Sorry. Yep. I don't know if you knew this, but Larry Silverstein had bought Tower 7. And when he had bought that, he insured it for a terrorist attack. And then he insured the Twin Towers. And then, amazingly crazy, 2 days later, they went down. And they knew something was off because he'd always come into the tower for coffee every morning. And that's the only morning he did not come in. So now he has bought a Los Angeles bank, a very tall, tall building in Los Angeles. Oh, and did I say he got $4.5 billion insurance for all the towers?
Wow.
Because they went down. So now he's bought that bank in Los Angeles. So are we going to have a repeat of history?
Well, we could, but I mean, this kind of deception has crept into the church and to the pulpits. Almost every church right now, the vast majority of them have a 501c3. So they're basically bought and paid for by the federal government. If they tell people who they think that they should vote for, they can get it revoked. If you know, the 501c3 is evil. Go ahead, Brett.
Yeah, I just want to say you're just hitting the tip of the iceberg. You're just starting from 9/11, 2001. And this goes way, way back, way back. I'll say when what's the Nazis were brought over, and was it Van Buren started NASA? That might be a good start.
Amen. Well, I'm finding out that the longer I look into the history of this country, the longer I study out how all these upper echelons have been bought and paid for by basically Lucifer, by Satan. It goes back even further than the inception of this country. And I don't want to get into the various different denominations of Christianity that I believe are part of that, because I don't want people think I'm insulting whatever church that they affiliate with. In my opinion, every church, every group of people that congregates at any particular church on any given Sunday, there are saved people and unsaved people in each one.
So I don't separate Catholics from Protestants and Pentecostals from Baptists. It's just my personal opinion. If the Bible says all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But with that said, I see a whole lot of Christians that aren't aware of any of this stuff. And it's why I'm so amazed. I before finding Coach Dave's show, before hearing all of you guys comment on Coach Dave's show, I used to think I was on an island, that I was the only one that thought like this, myself and my friend, and my buddy Kevin, who's listening right now. And when I found this show, I was like, wow, there's other people out there that are aware and that believe this stuff as well. Somebody has their hand raised. I don't see a name on it, though. You can talk. Go ahead.
To me, there's more people outside the church that are more awake than people inside the church. It's almost like they're the leftovers that are still in church.
Could be. All I believe is that there's a whole lot of people going to church on Sundays and church on Saturdays and getting involved. But to be honest with you, a lot of them aren't born again. They're not born again by the Spirit of God. They're just going through the motions and playing church. And I'm not going to mention any names, but I know a good handful of people that wind up taking that shot during COVID. They wind up wearing the mask. I never closed my church down. I wind up selling the building about a year and a half later, but we never wind up closing the building down. And yet they would show up for church on Sunday with the mask on, and I would ask them to take it off, and they would get mad at me, but I don't want to get sick. And I said, look, you either take the mask off or leave. But, you know, not everybody left, and I wasn't going to kick anybody out anyway. But it's so disheartening for me to see Christians just submitting to what's obviously a psyop on the American people. And we're supposed to be the ones that are completely awake and searching out truth in everyday life.
Amen.
I mean, how many of you guys wore the mask? How many of you guys got the shot? Probably not many, right? So why is it that we know and we knew and nobody else knew? I venture to think a lot of these pastors were telling people to get their shots, the same pastors who closed their doors. I remember Creflo Dollar, who's, in my opinion, he's a fraud to begin with. But does anybody know the big 10-foot sign that he had hanging outside of his church building? It said, the blood of Jesus does not cover the COVID shot. How heretical is that? That was his way of telling people to get the shot. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, you know, Adam, it's unfortunate, and you're right. Unfortunately, through all these circumstances, the COVID and the elections, so many things have been brought out in the open, and we're thankful for it. And obviously, we all know there are people that just woke up to the fact about the shot, and they, you know, they came into the knowledge afterwards, and we ask God to give them the grace, right? That we're fortunate He gave us the grace that we were able to avoid that trap, but there are those that unknowingly step into it, right? But we ask for God, somehow God put the grace on them now. But one thing I heard over the weekend that was really interesting, I'll find it, I'll send it to you. It was a podcast made by three Jewish guys, and I really appreciated their perspective on what's going on. And they brought out a great point about the Balfour Agreement. They said, and let's put the shoe on the other foot. Let's just say in my small town, Avoca, we had the Avoca Agreement last weekend. A bunch of people got together. And we realize there's a scripture that we're going to base this on. And all Christians, their promised land is North Korea. That's your promised land. You need to sell everything you have, and God wants you to move to North Korea. That's where you belong. Christians, how would you react to that, Adam, if all of a sudden I said to you, Adam, you need to pull up? And so basically their philosophy was, what's up with this? I'm happy being a Jew where I'm at right now. I don't have to move to Israel to prove that I'm a Jew. I can be practicing my faith right where I'm at. I don't have to stand on a particular piece of ground in order to be accepted as a Jew. And I really appreciated their perspective of it. You know, when you put it in those terms, you realize how ridiculous it is that people of a faith have to stand on a particular piece of ground to be accepted as being part of that faith. And I, you know, it was really great to hear that from people that even they're woke to what the con game that's going on out there. And I really appreciate it. I'll find that. I'll send it to you. You'll find it interesting. And they were fully understanding of Christian dispensationalism and everything. They know the whole thing. They've studied it all. It's not like they're ignorant to any of that, right? And they understand how that came into existence. And so I appreciated their perspective. They were well studied, and they understood the whole a lot of what's going on over there.
Amen. Thanks, Ben. P.S. Did you have your hand up again?
Yeah, last night I was watching, or yesterday I should say, I was watching a video called Jordan Peterson versus 20 Atheists or something like that. And my point would be to watch that, try to follow it. It's pretty heady. But what Christians do you know that are as smart as those 20 atheists trying to defend their position?
Well, unfortunately, not a lot, because a lot of Christians...
They were so smart on some of their points. It was just profound. I'm like, my gosh.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of Christians don't know why they believe what they believe. What does Coach Dave always say in the show? Does anybody want to yell it out? Go ahead, Betty.
Who told you that, and why do you believe it?
Right. Right. And I that's a good thing that we should be reminding each other of. I know a lot of people that have a lot of different beliefs, good Christian people, good Christian men and women who are awake, but they can't remember the address or what verse says it. And or they don't know how to explain the Bible verses that they're trying to touch on in their belief system. And a lot of times we fall into this trap. I have to keep reminding myself that study to show yourself approved. It's about searching for truth daily as much as possible, to be a seeker of truth and to not get mad at people when they don't come to what I think the right conclusion is. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that they can't defend the faith, and yet they should be able to. Go ahead, Jack. You got something else?
Yeah. The takeaway is just keep doing it. You never know who's going to pick up on something that you lay down. Some simple little twist just catches their attention, and all of a sudden they're off digging into what's happening. So just be bold. You don't have to hammer a tambourine on the corner, but you can do whatever's in your lane. I can tell you exactly what picked my interest that I started digging. In 1978, I was listening to a cassette that somebody gave me from Chuck Missler. I think it was Firefighters for Christ thing. And I listened to that tape from Chuck Missler. And I realized, that's 1978. That's a couple days ago. And I started digging then. And it just said, wow, if that's true, what else did they lie about? If that's true, what else is out that they're doing? So you can pick people's interest. You don't have to fire hose them. You just start giving them real facts that you can back up. Don't fire hose them.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, you know what? At the end of the day, and I already said this twice, and I'll say it again, I'm thankful for all you guys. I'm thankful for Coach Dave. And I'm thankful that for ministries that don't water down the message that they're giving to their people, whether it's in Bible studies or from the pulpit. I've been... And I'm not going to mention any names. I was at a church not too long ago, and the pastor was up there completely misquoting Bible verses, didn't have a Bible in front of her. And maybe that's the first problem. I don't believe in female pastors. Okay. But she's up there, she's standing behind a pulpit, and she's giving her message. And 90% of the message wasn't biblical in any way, shape, or form, because the verses she was misquoting were being twisted and formed to fit her prosperity gospel theology. I had to get up and walk out. And all I know is, like Peter and I, Peter's a dispensationalist. I'm not, but Peter has good intentions. He has a good heart, and him and I could fellowship with one another. We can have discussions with one another in the chat, and maybe Peter can enlighten me for something that I never knew before, and vice versa. But there's a whole portion of the church right now that has believed the liberal lies that have crept into the church, and as far as I'm concerned, those aren't churches anymore. They're just not churches anymore. Does anybody else have anything? We have 5 minutes left before the show is over. Does anybody have anything that they would like to add?
Well, wife.
I want to be careful with the word church, because the Holy Spirit, I've known the Lord for 40 some years, and the Holy Spirit has really enlightened me. We are the church. So Jack and I found a gathering place where Christians gather. We encourage each other. We are not, what is that called, honey? A 401c?
501c.
They are not one of those. And we are open to all disagree. We have many, many different convictions and beliefs. My husband and I don't believe it's a sin to have a glass of wine, and they believe it's a sin to drink alcohol. But we can agree to disagree. We love each other. We go there and we encourage each other. But I am the church. We use that word, you know, that church I don't go to. That's not the church. It's a building.
Yep.
And I really, please don't get offended with me, but I really am convicted about this, because we use that word so lightly. I am the church.
Amen.
One of the things that I use when we're walking out, and often a pastor will be at the back of the church greeting you, and my comment always is, the church is leaving the building. Have a nice day.
Yeah.
No, that's good. James, you got your hand up?
Yeah, it's called the ecclesia. I mean, we're the body of Christ in everywhere we go, everywhere God sends us throughout the week. We are the church to those people. Amen. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Go ahead, Mary Beth.
Amen, James.
Hey, what an excellent show. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I had big shoes to fill today. I don't even have any thoughts that I could even come close to doing it the way Coach does, but I try, and Coach is a good man.
Each person is different, though. That's the interesting thing. I heard once that it's good to drink from a different stream once in a while, because everybody teaches differently, and that's what's so interesting. And, you know, I love Coach, and I'm so thankful that I came upon this show at one time.
Amen. Amen. Randy, you got something to add? Got something you want to say?
Yeah, yes. That's a good job, Adam. Very good job. You know, if the Holy Spirit's in us, God is in us, and, you know, we're the church, what ground on the whole earth, what ground, if you walk anywhere on the earth, is it not holy? Is it not as holy as a piece of ground in the history that was really where Jesus walked? How is the ground you're walking on now with the Holy Spirit in you too any less holy than anything else? See, the earth belongs to God. Earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So we should not ever, ever think that one piece of ground is any less holy than something else. And that's my opinion.
Amen.
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 Just brought to my memory a recollection of, you know, the Bible verse where Moses sees the burning bush and God tells Moses, take the sandals off your feet because you're standing on holy ground. And now everywhere that we go, because God no longer dwells in temples made with human hands, because he dwells inside of us, everywhere we go, we stand on holy ground because we bring the truth, the power, and the presence of God everywhere that we go. So that's a big amen to that, Randy. That's a big amen. So again, I appreciate the show. I appreciate Coach for giving me the opportunity. I appreciate everybody's opinions here. And it's just about 8 o'clock, so we'll sign off on the show. Let's close with a prayer. Father, we love you, and we praise your holy name. Help us to love you and your word more every single day, and help us to love each other as ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.